Birds sing after a storm. I also find joy in the fresh new world. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Birds sing after a storm. Every storm freshens up everything and makes everything beautiful, washes the leaves of the flowers, waters the plants, brings nourishment, minerals, vitamins, nutrients to all the earth, to all the plants, to all humanity. And life goes on in a beautiful form. And man has everything that he could ever want. He has that which is maintaining his body in perfect condition, maintaining his life in perfect condition, but he doesn't listen. I also find joy in the fresh new world after the storm, for the energy in the atmosphere just seems to be so powerful and so uplifting. It makes you feel like you want to go out and climb mountains and swim rivers and do all sorts of physical things. But something that is often overlooked is after a storm, there is such a positiveness in the air, a positiveness in the animals and the plants and man himself, that it's often overlooked because it is common, but it's not appreciated. And man goes on his humdrum way and doesn't pay attention to what's going on in the atmosphere and what's going on in him. The atmosphere is one gigantic force field that is providing the world with balance, with harmony, enthusiasm, joy, and theos, God, the presence and the power of all that is good. However, we've looked at the atmosphere and we've looked at everything and we keep calling it bad. The caveman called the strength of the animals that they were trying to have for dinner bad because it was hard to catch them. The cavemen originally were not carnivores, and our animal population originally was not carnivore. They were all herbivore. They ate the fruits of the tree and the grass and the leaves and all the things that nature provided for them, filled with a luxuriant energy. And then man comes along and he wonders why the birds sing after a shower, after a thunderstorm, because they too are energized and they too eat the seeds of the field. Very few birds are carnivores. We're designed to eat that which is nature's gifts to us, and we don't eat it. We like to eat food, say meat from animals and fish, which is just that the fish have eaten the wonderful foods that they've eaten and made themselves into digestible things for us. If we could eat firsthand the wonderful foods of nature, we would find that our whole energy system would be totally different. We would find that our whole atmosphere of our world and our bodies and our affairs would be totally different. Even the Bible, as whatever thought we may have about the Bible, a great respect, or just we like to just say it's somebody's idea. Well, it is somebody's idea, that's for sure. But what does it say in the first chapter of the Bible? It says that everything was provided for man, for him, for food. and it listed all the things, nuts, herbs, all the things of natural, of nature. And it said that the animals and the rest of creation was given to mankind for his dominion, but it didn't say for his dinner. We often misinterpret that. And we think that everything that isn't human, we can eat. But we think to eat a human is a terrible thing. Well, actually, it's no more terrible to eat a human being than it is to eat something else. Whether it's a fish or a fowl or an animal, no matter what it may be, if it is not the herbs of the field or the fruits of the trees or the seeds thereof, it is not in keeping with the original plan. You look at a dog and you say, a dog is rather carnivorous, like a wolf and something. They have fangs. And what are those fangs? Those fangs are teeth with which they rip apart their dinner. And they eat that. And a few other animals have the same type of rip-chewing type of stuff. But look at man. Man has teeth of a herbivore. Man has teeth meant to grind, meant to pulverize the grass, meant to pulverize the leaves of the field, meant to pulverize the nuts, meant to pulverize the fruits, meant to pulverize whatever it eats. Not to eat meat, not to eat any of those things. Now, I'm not saying all this as a vegetarian against eating meat. I'm merely saying, think about it. Birds sing after a storm, and I also find joy in the fresh new world. But what do I find joy in? I find joy in life. I find joy in the energy of the universe. I find joy in the power of that energy of the universe. I find joy in everything I can possibly find joy in. And I find it very difficult to not find joy in my world, because my world is an expression of the divine. My body is an expression of the divine. Every organ, action, function of my body is an energy expression, an energy vehicle, an energy source, activity user, you might say, yes. But what kind of energy do I give it? I give it half-used energy, if not more than half-used, from the bodies of animals. The animals take the fresh grass from the tree, from the ground, and eat it, and then they masticate it into food for themselves, and then food into their body, and then we take the animal flesh, and we eat it, and we're several times down the chain, and several times down the energy level. The energy that we receive from animal food, from flesh, is about 1/32 to 1/50 of what is available. The rest of it is just lost because it has already been utilized. It is already gone. It's no longer there. And then, the next joyous thing that we do, the birds sing after a storm. I find joy in it also. But the next thing we do is we take any type of food, whether it's the fruits of the tree, the nuts, the seeds, the leaves, the plants, whatever it may be, and we boil the living hell out of it. Any goodness that's in it, we deplete so measurably that science has been able to detect how much is left, and it's only a tiny percent that's left, if it is true that it's left at all. Because the fruits and vegetables that we eat, we boil them and we season them and we sugar them and we powder them and we put them in jars and we seal them under pressure. All of our vegetables, we like to have them pre-cooked. We want them to be softer. The carrots are too hard when they're just raw. We want to cook them and cook them and cook them. And as we cook them and cook them and cook them, each cooking takes away their mineral content. It evaporates, takes away their vitamin content. It evaporates and is burned away. And all of the other potential things that food matter has to offer. You see, in the creation story or in the early days, man didn't have microwave ovens and stoves and pressure cookers and all these things. He didn't have Pepsi factories and Coke factories and all these various things. He didn't have all that stuff. What he had was the natural foods. Now, we have no way of telling how healthy early man was, but I would imagine early man was very healthy, and that what killed most of early men, if not all of them who were killed, was accident. All accidents are self-created. Or being eaten by the prey that they would eat. They go after a large animal, and the animal turns and goes on them. And I'm sure that many humans were wasted in that way. But think on these things. How long does it take us to learn the lesson? Listen to the birds singing in the trees after the storm. Just listen. And you hear the melody of all the harmony of the universe. They're so brilliant. They're so colorful. They're so marvelous. And then, how do you feel? Do you feel good after a storm? Do you feel wonderful after a storm? Think about it. Think about it. I often thought, you know, I would like to reach over and touch this person and bless them with a healing for themselves in their life. But before I would do it, I would give them a test. I would say, okay, take off all your clothes. All right, now stand there. Now, and of course, if they got that far, the healing was assured. But if they didn't, if they were reluctant, if they were feeling that something odd was going on or that I had some ulterior motives in my mind about them, whatever judgment they had, if they didn't think that they had come for a healing, they certainly would not get a healing. You go to Lourdes or you go wherever you go, and you don't go there because you don't want to do what they say you should do. And they don't tell you what to do, but they just tell you what others have done, how they've climbed up the stairs on their knees, how they have set markers at 1 mile, 2 mile, 5 miles before the shrine. And you crawl on your knees, your bare knees usually, not with pants or skirt or anything, but your bare knees, and you crawl to the shrine. Naturally, your knees are all bloody and bruised by the time you get there. Now, do you think that those people quite likely might experience a healing? I think they'd experience a healing that they would never realize they experienced, but also they would experience a healing they do realize, because they played the game. They realized that what they were told to do had no ulterior motive. It didn't benefit the shrine at all, but it did benefit them in their self-confidence, in their self-discipline, in their self-dedication and self-determination to follow whatever it is they're doing. Yes, the birds sing after a storm because the energy in the air is so powerful. It enervates them with so much wonderful power and so much wonderful glory. And they sing their hearts out. And I feel the same way. I feel glorious. Ellen came home from having the golf cart repaired. and she was driving down the freeway all by herself with nobody else around, on the edge, of course. And as she was driving along, she was singing her heart out, saying, "Oh, what a beautiful day. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful day." And each time she would open her mouth, nobody heard her except herself. She felt like she was the greatest angelic being in the world, the greatest singer in the world. But she knew. She knew she was good. She knew she was wonderful. Because she didn't judge herself. She just felt she was great. Now, she acted like the bird right after a storm, with all the energy of the heaven floating in and through her, encouraging her to let go and let her be herself. Think about this here. We've spoken of a lot of aspects. There's no judgment here. There's no saying that you should or should not eat meat, should or should not cook foods, you should or should not do whatever. Think about it. Think about it. A mother who has anger, who has a body illness, should not feed her baby because it passes directly through the milk to the baby. And our dairy farms at one time used to have contented cows. And the milk reflected that contentment. That was the sales pitch of a lot of dairies in the United States over the years. But now, you don't know what the cow is, because the milk is homogenized, it is boiled, it is checked, it is added to for vitamins, it's added to for minerals and nutrients. It's no longer milk. It's now a concoction. It's now, you know, something that has no similarity to its original form. And we drink it thinking we're going to get all sorts of calcium and other things, and it's already boiled out of it. What is it that we're going to do? How can we return to our original purity and integrity? Well, we return to our original purity and integrity by doing a number of things, and these are a few of them. Number one, whatever is given to you, eat it in love. Whatever you serve to another, serve it in love. Number two, consider that everything that you eat is divine and expressing its original purity and integrity. You don't have to return it to its original purity and integrity, but you do see it experiencing its original purity and integrity, and therefore for you it is absolutely perfect. For you it is absolutely pure. For you it is ideal. Someone else might eat it and might find it not acceptable, but you know who you are, and you put the cause in motion and you say, all is perfect right now. All is magnificent right now. All is very good right now. And the third thing that you do is you have not judged it, you have not possessed it, and what you have done now is you're untouched by it. It merely is an aspect of bringing to you the universal energy, which is solely for you right now. As we can let that happen, the wonder of the original purity and integrity is there again, and the birds again sing in our heart, in our life, in our world after the storm. And I find joy in the fresh new world of my original purity and integrity. And I am one-pointed in that. Enjoy your life, enjoy yourself, and realize that all of the statements that are made here are the statements of Herb Byerly, are the statements of his thoughts, his ideals, his imagination,
And they are true 100%. So, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Love you.